The following program is paid for by the friends and partners of A.L. Lewis Ministries. Welcome to A.L. Lewis Ministries with Pastor Amos L. Lewis, where we're building model ministries, one person at a time. Let's listen to today's message.
Partiality in the pews. The Webster's Online Dictionary defines partiality or favoritism as the practice of giving unfair, preferential treatment to one person or group at the expense of another. And this should not happen in the house of God. We should not practice partiality. We should not practice favoritism in the church. Amen. Whether a person is red, yellow, black, or white, brown, amen, and anything in between, we need to remember that that person is precious in God's sight. When it comes to the church, there are no big I's and little U's in the house of God. Amen. Everyone stands at the same level at the foot of the cross. Amen. We are all unworthy sinners saved by the grace of God. And that's why the songwriter said, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see." Amen. So salvation is a gift from God. We are saved by grace through faith. That's not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast. So our wealth, our looks, our education, our achievements, etc., don't make us better or worse than anyone else. We must make sure we see beyond these external and shallow things and look at the person. We must see them through the eyes of Jesus. How do we do that? We must realize that every person is special, every person is unique, and every person deserves to be treated with dignity and respect, regardless of their station in life or where they fall in the chain of command. Oftentimes, we treat those above us one way, our peers another way, and those who are below us a different way entirely. It was Thomas Carlyle who said, "A great man shows his greatness by the way he treats little men." In other words, big people make others feel big. Important people make other people feel important. As we come to our text, amen. Getting here. All right. We talked about this the last time. I just want to read this again and kind of set the stage. The first century church, unique in its society, tried to break down class distinction. And I think we need to do that again. The first century church was unique in the fact that it tried to break down class distinctions. In the church, a man of influence could find himself rubbing shoulders with slaves. A slave could be his elder. A slave owner might serve sacraments to a slave. Such unnatural social behavior shocked those who were influenced by the prevailing mindset of the day. Many, caving in to social pressure, felt compelled to give special treatment to those who were esteemed outside the church. And this is what James is addressing in this epistle, or in this portion of the epistle that we're looking at. So we talked about the last time, discrimination in the congregation, and that should not be. We discriminate based upon a person's gender. That should not be. We discriminate based upon a person's race, and that should not be. We discriminate based upon a person's social status in society, who they are out there in the community. We discriminate based upon a person's education. We discriminate based upon person ability to give, and right on down the line. And James is saying that should not be in the house of God, the discrimination in the congregation. First of all, we talked about the exhortation not to show partiality. Verse 1 says, "My brothers, as believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, don't show favoritism." Then we defined partiality the last time. We said partiality originally, this word refers to raising someone's face or elevating the person. But it came to refer to exalting someone strictly on a superficial external basis, such as appearance, race, wealth, rank, or social status. Now, we don't want to practice partiality or favoritism in the church because it causes problems. Amen? Because it's a sin. For an example, if you will look in the Old Testament, you remember that Jacob had 12 sons, but he showed favoritism towards Joseph. as opposed to his other sons. And his other sons, they hated Joseph because the way he was treated by his father. His father took it a step further and made him a coat of many colors. He made it clear to the rest of the boys in the family, to everybody else in the family, this is my favorite one. This is my chosen one because this is the son of my love. I love Rachel. I tolerate the rest of them, but I love me some Rachel. And we can see the drama and the conflict that it caused in the family. So when we come together as believers and we show favoritism towards one another, we're just creating additional problems in the church. Amen. So we got to make sure that we put on the gospel glasses, so to speak, and see people through the eyes of Jesus and put everybody in here on the same level. Everybody is special. Everybody is worthy to be treated with dignity and respect. Amen. And I don't know about you, but I love the fact that God has given us such diversity here at Rising Star. How many of you will enjoy life if the only flower we had was a rose? Wouldn't that be boring? Out of all the dogs out there, the only one that you could have would be a little poodle. Wouldn't that be sad? I mean, but thank God we got variety. So when it comes to the church, we have variety in our church. Just look around this morning and look at the diversity and the variety that we have. God is making a beautiful rainbow right here at Rising Star. God is making a beautiful bouquet right here at Rising Star. So God loves diversity. Now watch this. You can have diversity and still have unity. And sometimes you can have uniformity and still not have unity. Come on, somebody. So what I'm saying is God loves diversity. So I thank God for the diversity that we have here at Rising Star. And that's one of the things about living in Tucson. You almost force a man to interact with other people, whether you like it or not. Because in Tucson, you just can't go on the other side of the tracks and find everybody there. Because there's no there in Tucson. Come on, somebody. Anybody know what I'm talking about? So I'm saying God has created diversity, amen, in our midst in this city, and God has created diversity right here in our church. I love the fact that as I get up and I look across the congregation, I see different shades of African-American people. Amen. You're not all light-skinned. You're not all pecan tan. You're not all dark-skinned. Come on, somebody. But the different shades, and then I see some Hispanic members here, and then I see a couple of Asian members here, and I see a few white members here. I think this is beautiful that we can come together on Sunday morning and worship the same God, amen? We need to stop discriminating, amen, somebody. We need to come together because we are the kingdom of God, and if we cannot get along down here and worship together down here, what make you think we gonna all go to heaven and start worshiping God? We need to get along now, amen, and that's why we need to have variety in our churches, amen, so that we hit some of everybody up in here. We need to have music for the young people. We need to have music for the young adults. We need to have music for the singers, amen. We need to make sure that every generation is represented. Amen. We need to mix it up. Amen. Listen, this is imperative that you expand your horizon and learn how to embrace diversity so when you go to other places, amen, you won't be pigeonholed. And you won't suffer from small-mindedness. Because you might not always be in this church. You might not always be in Tucson. God may place you somewhere else, and you're going to have to step outside your comfort zone and learn how to worship with people that may not worship like you. Come on, somebody. Watch this. And God is changing all our family members. Come on. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Our families are becoming more and more diverse, so you got to learn how to roll with it. Amen. You got to have collard greens on one side and tacos on the other side. Come on, somebody. Don't make me go there. You know what I'm talking. You got to mix this thing up. Amen. Put some gravy over here and some salsa over there. Amen. Amen. Watch this. Because if you don't learn how to do that, what you going to do as the country continues to change? Because the country is becoming more and more diverse, so the churches must become more and more diverse. Now, we don't have to get away from what I call our dominant culture, amen, because every church has a dominant culture, and every church has a dominant theology.
But what I'm saying, you got to learn how to mix it up and have variety, amen, because variety is the spice of life. Amen, somebody. I mean, I just don't want Chinese food every day. I just don't want soul food every day, most days, but not every day. Come on, somebody. Don't you want to mix it up sometimes? You can't die and go to heaven and get up there talking about, I want that black section of heaven, what they sing in gospel music. Come on. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I mean, I want to be able to go over there, amen, if they sing some Israel Houghton, I can get along and flow with it. They got some Fred Hammond, amen. If they got some Mahalia Jackson, amen, I don't care what they're singing, amen. I can flow with it. Amen. Amen. So what I'm saying, you got to learn how to appreciate diversity. Amen. So I thank God for the diversity that I see at Rising Star. And we're not going to practice partiality at Rising Star, because every person is important at Rising Star. Amen. Amen. All right. The exhortation, then the illustration. We talked about that. We talked about the haves. Amen. We talked about they were impressed with their wealth, their gold. Amen, Mr. T. We got some Mrs. T's running around here too. They were impressed by their wardrobe. Amen. Them Sharp brothers. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. So we talked about the haves. Then we talked about the have-nots. And I told you I'm not in the haves and I'm not in the have-nots. I'm in the third category, have not paid for my stuff yet. Amen. Amen. Now, here we come to the next one. We talked about the condemnation of partiality. Now we want to talk about the exploitation of the poor by the rich. The exploitation of the poor by the rich. Number one, the choice of God. Listen, dear brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised to those who love him? God is saying, I got a problem with the way y'all are treating poor people at the church. You need to know that I have chosen the poor people deliberately, the poor people in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith. I've chosen the poor people of the world because, listen, they ain't got a whole lot to depend upon. They don't have a whole lot of distractions. So they can fully and totally depend upon me. Even though they are poor in the eyes of the world, they are rich in faith. And they're going to inherit the kingdom of God. Now, I want you to listen to something here. 1 Corinthians 1, 26 through 29. And I thank God for scriptures like this, because this is my address. Amen. You know, even though I've been able to make a little money, have a couple positions and go to school and all this stuff, I'm just a poor country boy. That's all I am. And, you know, I try to be polished and dignified, but I can't do it. I do. I really try to, but it's just not my core. It's just not in me. You know, that country just comes out of me. I get nervous around bougie people and snotty people. They get on my nerves. I mean, they just make me nervous. You know what I'm saying? You know, you're so proper. And so, I'm not saying nothing wrong with you, but I just can't deal with that. I like transparent people. I like people real. I like people down to earth. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I'm not trying to hate on you, but I just can't roll with a lot of fake people and a lot of titles and stuff. I'm not impressed by that stuff. Please step out of my zone. Amen. Now listen to what the Bible says. Remember, 1 Corinthians 1, 26 through 29. Remember, dear brothers and sisters, that few of you were wise in the world's eyes or powerful or wealthy when God called you. And some of us try to pretend like we ain't never been poor. And if the truth be told, if this economy keeps going the way it's going, amen, you might find yourself back in the projects. So don't be sitting around with your nose up in the air, because life is full of reversals. Because there's a lot of people in the soup line didn't think they would be in the soup line. There's a lot of people homeless now, never thought they would be homeless. There's a lot of people unemployed, didn't think they would be unemployed. So don't go around with no attitude. You got a problem with that, read Job. Job said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He said, so remember, dear brothers and sisters, that few of you were wise in the world's eyes or powerful or wealthy when God called you. Watch this. Instead, God chose things the world considers foolish in order to shame those who think they are wise. In other words, if you think you all there in a bag of chips, God said, you're not wise. You're stuck on stupid. God chose things the world consider what? Foolish. Why? In order to shame those who think they are wise. And he chooses things that are powerless to shame those who are powerful. God chose things despised by the world. Things counted as nothing at all. And used them to bring to nothing what the world considers important. And as a result, watch this, no one can ever boast in the presence of God. God is saying the more you decrease and the less impressed you are with yourself and the more you make yourself available and realize that I'm your all in all, God is saying the more that I can use you. But the more you impress with your titles, the more you impress with your standing in society, the more impressed you are with your degrees, the more impressed you are with your social statuses, and then in other words, the more impressed you are with you, God said, I can't stand you and I won't use you. And if you keep reading this text, it tells you why. He says, so that no flesh may glory in my presence. God said, I won't share my glory with anybody.
Thank you for listening to today's message. We hope today's word has been a blessing to you. You can purchase this and other messages through the A.L. Lewis Ministries bookstore.